Hi, good morning. I'm calling for William Bolton.
Speaking.
Hi, William. It's Robin calling from the Red Cross. How are you?
Hey, Robin. Good.
Good. I also have my colleague Fiona on the line.
Hi.
Hi, Fiona. Okay, just a couple of things I just want to just talk to you guys about before we get into this. First of all, you are aware that this conversation is recorded on our line.
Okay, thank you for letting us know that.
Yeah, it's just because often we have to go through and say, what did they say? You know, so we find it easier to sort of record, and this will also give me the ability to refresh anything you may say in case I didn't
Okay, sure.
understand on that.
What we'll also do, William, is we'll send you an email at the end of this call
Sure.
just to kind of cover some key points too. So that'll
Perfect.
be great.
Great. The other thing is, this is a voice over IP, so if it does go down, let me give you my cell number in case we get
Okay.
interrupted.
Sure.
It's 250
250
217
217
0008.
0008. Sorry, 250 217 0008.
Perfect. Yeah.
All right.
Robin, was I talking to you originally? I got an email from a Robin. Would
Yeah.
that have been you?
We were in email contact early on. So
Okay.
maybe we'll just start by way of introductions, William. So I'm really glad we're able to connect with you today. Yeah, I am Robin. We have been in touch by email
Okay.
before your original application kind of entered into the appeals process, and at which point Ashley took over communication with you.
Right.
So I'm the manager of the granting team, and my colleague Fiona, who's also on the call, is one of our grants officers. And so our role in the program is to, review applications and also to support applicants who have questions, wanting to understand kind of the parameters of the program that we're working with. And so we understand that your first application has gone through the appeals process, but that you're also kind of now looking at a second application for a different project. Is that right?
Correct. And I think I explained to you in one of my emails, Robin, that this isn't what I do. I don't fill out applications, and so it's very clear I may have just misled in regards to my wording.
Okay.
And that's why I many times I said, if someone can call me for clarity, it's easier. And I think I mentioned to Ashley once that in the olden days, if you want to call it that, I could actually approach the appeal board and confront them directly. Well, you can't do that today. So, so
Yeah.
that was an issue. That's why I asked many times for a conversation. If there were any questions in regards to our application. And the first time that it got declined was in regards to duplication of services, and I think I clearly showed that that was not the case. We don't duplicate services. And I think the issue here, Fiona, if you weren't aware of it, was we actually have two sections to our nonprofit group. One is search and rescue, which has been our primary up till about a year ago, and then the second is disaster relief. And it's the disaster relief, obviously. I mean, a year ago, no one knew COVID was going to hit us. So, disaster could be hurricanes, it could be tornadoes, could be collapsed buildings, fires, or pandemic. And so that's where I'm trying to channel this. And I think it was first read under our search and rescue division instead of the disaster division, even though the link on the application is to the disaster website.
Okay.
So that's where
Okay.
it could have just been a little cloudy, and I wanted to sort of clarify there. So
Okay.
what I've tried
So
to do is I've gone through the application again, and I've updated some minor things, but there were two points that I wanted to ask your clarity on. First of all, in your terms and agreement of the COVID-19 Emergency Support and Community Organization, section number six states that in the event of Red Cross providing capital equipment to the grantee, or the grantee uses project funds to purchase capital equipment that has been purchased or leased value of more than $1,000 before taxes, such equipment shall be owned by Red Cross, and Red Cross shall retain all rights to the respected equipment. This money is not coming from Red Cross. This is not Red Cross money. This is federal money.
So William, I might just, before we get into the details, I might just take a step back for a second.
Sure.
And hand it over to Fiona just to kind of frame our conversation so
okay.
that you understand kind of my and Fiona's role, and also kind of what we can achieve in this space as we're talking today, in terms of just like focusing on a new application that you're looking at and helping walk through the parameters of the program.
Sure.
So Fiona, yeah, do you want to give us a bit of a kind of framing for our conversation?
Yeah, so the purpose of this call today is to try and navigate around any questions that you might have for the second application to ensure that, you know, it's an easier process for you this time and that we can address any questions you have before you submit that application. We won't be able to give you a firm yes or no on this call because the application will go through a similar process as the first one did. But that's where we're hoping to have the conversation today. So maybe we can start with the project itself that you're proposing for the second application, so we're all on the same page about it.
Okay. Fiona, the application, what we're trying to do is we're trying to be supportive in the community. The second application is going to be, and let me just put it up here, I'll tell you what we filled in there. Do you have access to the application that I'm submitting?
Yes, I do, and I have looked it over prior.
Okay, so number 3828, that's the one you're looking at, right? Okay, good. Okay, I just want to make sure. So I'm looking at where was that? I think it was organization, profit, support, documents, most recent, last annual information, and maybe it's under application forms. Yeah, so if we look at the application forms section there, within states then support of the nonprofit. Yes, we're applying for ourselves. We are applying on secondary thing there. We're looking at delivering new virtual services or programming as a result of the new needs. And that's what we're trying to accommodate here is things have changed here, Fiona, and we're trying to then look at, now it may, and again, this is just guesswork, it may include things to the point of even the, you know, the new schooling that is opening up. You know, there's a lot of controversy as to, you know, can the schools go back or whatever. We may be needed on that side, so we want to be prepared for anything in that regard. So this is definitely a new aspect. The food security, the health and hygiene, the mental health, the safety information of the violence information of community navigation and transportation, and then also the spiritual care is where we're looking at to be able to accommodate. And we looked up the stats in the Waterloo region, and it looks like there's about 2,500 people that fall into the homeless, the mental health care, the low poverty line. Now, that is a very low number. I didn't want to exaggerate and say we can help everybody. Obviously, we cannot. So we tried to keep it as a realistic type of number where we would be able to assist. It's absolutely, are we not going to help 2,500 people? However, we're trying to provide a service where up to 2,500 people could help with the use of other community organizations.
So, William, tell us a bit about the direct services themselves. So what are the services that you are providing?
The main thing we're trying to look at here is we're trying to the direct services are going to be the involvement with the homeless, with the poverty-stricken, with the mental health, where we're going to be able to probably, hopefully, provide food and support there, maybe direction as to where they can get help. We can't, you know, look at the public health aspect. However, we could probably get brochures from the public health and say, if you need help in this is where you go. We have our whole thing, even on the search and rescue side, has always been an affiliation with the emergency response and the private sector, and we've worked between both, and we've basically been a coordinator, if you want to call it that, of these. So being able to send people to the emergency services or be able to assist on the emergency services, gain access to it, that's the middle person, if you want to call it that.
And so does your organization, is it, so one of the things that we look at is whether the proposed activities are kind of in line with the organization's mandate as well as their experience. So
has your organization, you know, had some experience in delivering these direct types of services to people?
We have helped people and communities for about 7 years. Now, I say most of that has been on the search and rescue side, and to redirect it to the disaster side isn't much different. We have access to the assistance of communities.
So just to ask a further question on that, has your organization worked with homeless populations in the past and worked with like distribution of goods in the past?
Yes. There was a girl about 2 years ago, I think it was, in Kitchener. I can't remember what she called it. There was food for the homeless or something like that, and we actually worked in regards to the distribution of the food for them and the goods, yes.
Okay. So I think just in terms of like supporting you as you're working through your application and putting it together, I would encourage you, William, to kind of speak to what exactly are the direct services that will be provided. So to get as specific as you can, so that it's very clear from your application what you're planning to do, because then that means that we're able to assess the application in terms of things like strengths of planning and organizational capacity. So that would be one kind of comment I have is to get quite specific about the direct services. I would also suggest that you make a very strong link to COVID-19 and the COVID-19 context. So it's really important that that's clear so that it's falling within the scope of the program. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm listening. I'm agreeing. I mean, that is what we've been trying to do, and this is why I said to you in the beginning, I said, I honestly think my wording just didn't come through.
Yeah, so I mean, kind of just listening to you speak and looking at the start that you've made on the application, yeah, again, I would encourage you to be very specific about the services that will be delivered. And then I also wonder if it's worth having a look together at the budget, because another very important part of our assessment is to review the budget considering the ineligible activities that are listed in the guidelines, and just making sure that the proposed activities in the project are in line and in scope for the program, because we've got a very specific scope, as I'm sure you understand.
Yeah.
So, for example, one thing I'm noticing is that there's some high cost for a mobile trailer. And so I would point you to look at the ineligible activity list on page 5 of the guidelines. I'm not sure if you have it in front of you, but I can forward it.
No, I printed them all out here. You say page 5?
Okay, great. Yeah, so page 5 of the program guidelines.
Maybe I didn't print that. I thought I printed them all off. Give me a second here. I got a lot of your papers in front of me.
Sure.
Is this under the eligibility activities?
Yes, the ineligible activities. So.
Right, and that was another thing that I wanted to address. These are the two things. It was the terms and condition, and then also the cost of the major capital equipment and renovation of minor equipment financing. Is that what you're referring to?
That's exactly the point.
Right, and that was another flag that I had, because, as I say, it really does seem a little ambiguous on both of these counts in your terms of agreement and this here, and yet in section number 2 it says project equipment and inventory, so obviously you're expecting us to upgrade our equipment. We're not buying a new trailer. We have a trailer. We're looking at upgrading to be able to then allow it to work in these new environments, and because of the extra weight, we have to get stabilized the bars and that for the vehicles to tow it, you know, safely. Otherwise, you know, we're going to have minimum transportation all over us. So that's where this money is going to, is for the upgrade. And yet, you're right, it does state these two here, and that's where I needed some clarity from you, saying, okay, you're saying this on paper, and yet you're asking for it on your application.
So, William, I'd also just like to draw your attention to our eligible costing guidelines.
Sure.
I don't know if you have those in front of you at the moment.
Give me a second. I probably do. my organization eligibility, is that what you're referring to?
It's a 11-page document titled Eligible Costing Rules and Financial Management Guidelines. If you don't have access to it at the moment, I can definitely send the link to you.
It's right there. It's the link at the top of the budget there, so I've got it. I've just opened it up. What are you referring to, Fiona?
So if you go to page 6, there's a little bit more of a discussion about the project equipment and inventory.
Okay.
And there's a line that reads, in most applications, this should not exceed 15% of the total project budget.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah, so that's...
So that's the limitation
of
acceptance.
Yeah, it's given the amount of money, there needs to be a very clear link as to how it's going to, this equipment will help serve the community that you're seeking to help justify and for us to understand that amount. So what I would suggest is if you're able to itemize these upgrades to give us some more context about $21,000.
Sure. That I can do. I can, because I've got, I didn't, you know, come up with that figure, you know, ambiguously. I costed it out as to what this is going to cost us, what we're going to have to do. We've got to, you know, increase the suspension on the vehicles, get the stabilizer bars, you know, provide the access there, you know, in the trailer. I have that itemized. And again, Fiona, I think this is where I misled you guys in the original application was I didn't list that. I did not.
And I think also, thanks, Fiona, for, your detail there. I think also it would be, important to make the link again. So when I look at your application, quite objectively, I'm still challenged to see, what exactly the services are that will be delivered as a result of this. So I think... And how those relate to COVID-19 specifically.
Okay.
So I think that's the really important part. So in order for there to be, you know, rationale for equipment costs, it needs to be very strongly linked to that direct service delivery as part of a response to COVID-19 specifically.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would encourage you to kind of think that through and how to add that context. And if you're having trouble kind of figuring out where to add it, you could add it in the description in the budget. You could also add it in the comments section. I see you started to add some info there. You can add, you know, if you need a place to put some additional text, the comments section is a great place to do that. But again, yeah, I think it's really important for your project that you make a very strong kind of statement on what the services would be.
Sure. Yeah, and Robin, if I could just add to that, as being one of the people on the team who looks at these applications, when I'm reading applications, I am looking for those links, as Robin said. So it could be something as direct as we are serving population X through service Y, as exacerbated as needed because of COVID-19 because of this.
Okay.
We recognize it as a very small text box for you to put your ideas in, but the more straightforward, the better. And in terms of the equipment, I'd encourage you, as you're going through the itemization, to make sure that there is that link back to that direct service, and if that link exists for each of those equipment items, or equipment categories, rather, that link is made very clear to us on the other side.
Yeah, and the other way to look at it as well, I know we're throwing lots of ideas at you.
That's why I like it recorded. I can listen to this later. So exactly, yeah.
Another way to look at it is to also think that, you know, in order for there to be strong rationale to provide funding for project equipment, the equipment needs to support the implementation of a project and not the other way around.
Okay.
If that makes sense. So it needs to be really clear, what is the project, thinking about the services that are going to be delivered in response to COVID-19, and then what is the equipment that's required to help implement that project. So this particular funding program, it really isn't designed as kind of a startup fund or any kind of organizational growth kind of purpose. It's really about direct service delivery, directly responding to COVID-19 needs of like the most vulnerable in community. So that's really the scope that we need to stay within. And so every, like, the purchase of equipment really needs to relate to that direct service delivery.
Okay. Fiona, I just want to back up a little bit to something you said. I need your support answer on this. Is I don't want to send you an essay to read. Would it be easier if those were all point form?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Definitely easier. I have seen other organizations use the additional document section as well to put a breakdown, but it's not strictly necessary. That doesn't make a, it doesn't really play a role in our decision making. But if you feel like that would be helpful for you, that is another way that you
okay.
could get across all that information.
And you see, that's what I did on my original application. There was a supplement added in there that I've removed on here because it was actually some of the points in there that were referred to in the declining of the funding. One of them was they said that, you know, the we spoke about being able to do testing for COVID and that, and it was declined on that, and I had to reiterate saying we are not saying we are going to test. We could assist in the testing of being able to provide facilities for the public health to come test. There's no ways I can test. I don't have test kits. I don't have a lab. We couldn't do it. So that's where, again, I think it got misread. Is that, you know, that got read, that, you know, it sounded like, I guess, whoever read it thought we were going to go out and do the testing. Well, it's literally impossible that we'd be even be able to, even if we did want
so,
to.
Yeah, so again, I think that speaks to the importance of, you know, first stating what you are going to do.
Right.
And then explaining how the cost in your budget supports that. So
okay.
rather than starting from the point of, you know, you'd like to equip or you'd like to adapt your trailer so that you could possibly do all of these things, I think it's more important to really focus on, you know, what will the project do and what will be kind of the achievements of this project in terms of direct service delivery in response to COVID-19, and then what are the costs that will allow you to deliver those services.
Okay, so Kim, on the supplement report, Fiona, I don't know if you saw it or not because I did remove it from the new one. On the second page there, I said we will be able to help the following manners, not limited to these, but these are the primary support areas. We could assist triage for hospital, support of food banks and other services by providing secure and sanitized form of transportation of food, provide remote mobile stations for health providers to rest in, provide command unit communication with emergency services and central services. That's the sort of thing you're looking for, and then you want me to build from that?
I think it will be, so I'm still, I don't want to go too far into, like, reviewing what you've put together, because really we can't do a full review.
No, I understand that, yeah.
But just to qualify that a little bit, but my kind of reaction to that is, again, like, we need to very specifically understand what this project will do rather than what it could do. So in this very short period of funding, in this emergency response, what will be achieved with this funding? What will this funding be spent on?
Right, and that's why, you know, this is, say, this is after the fact. I think the fact about the health providers on page one or whatever, this is the, in page two, and I did do this in point form. And so if I'm understanding you right, if I use a similar aspect of this and then built on each of these to say, if we're going to provide, you know, the food bank support there, this is how we're going to do it and this is what we need to do it. Is that what you're implying?
Yeah.
What I'd encourage you to do is really narrow in on a project rather than a multitude.
A broad
of
spectrum.
Projects.
Okay.
Yeah, just for some insight on our side, as an approved application goes through, at the end of the granting period, we do a follow up to see how the goals that were set by the project were met.
Sure.
And it's much easier to track the success or not of a defined project rather than a project that's a bit more open-ended. So I'd keep that in mind. And then just going back to what Robin said earlier, that anything purchased for the project should be to facilitate the project rather than be the project. So if I'd say we are to frame your application in a way that says, this is the project, and this is how the outfitting of this trailer or whatever else will support it, rather than we will be purchasing this equipment and then we will figure it out.
Okay.
And then two things on top of that that I think it's really important to understand, William, is, again, like, the $21,000 is a very high cost. It's a very high, like, capital purchase in proportion to other costs in your budget. So it's really important that you do understand that that is listed as an ineligible activity. We're not able, I understand this is about adaptation and not purchase of a new vehicle, but we are not able to fund the purchase of new vehicles under this program, and other examples of those kinds of major capital purchases and investments. So I just want to make sure that you're really clear on that, that, you know, that may not be found permissible. And so I would really encourage you to, again, think about project costs. And the other thing that I think is important to focus, again, is direct service delivery. So, you know, supporting a food bank who is delivering direct service delivery could potentially mean that your organization is actually like an intermediary, like you're providing the support to an organization that is doing direct service delivery. But again, this fund is designed for the organizations who are doing the direct service delivery themselves. So, you know, face-to-face reaching people in communities who need support.
Okay.
So that part is really important too. And so if your organization is actually kind of a support organization for other organizations, then I would be concerned about scope for this particular funding program.
Okay. I hear what you're saying, and the way I've worded it, I think I agree with you that it certainly could be read that way. However, that's not what we intend. What we intend to do is set ourselves up as an independent form of direct service that we could work in conjunction with, not below.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so that will be an important part to kind of articulate in terms of the, like, activities that you'll be, that you would be undertaking.
Okay. Now, I do agree with you in regards to the $21,000 being high in proportion to the other aspects. However, what I could do, and I don't want to mislead figures here at all, I'm trying to be as, you know, transparent as I can here, is if I redirect some of those funds. But, I mean, what are you referring to in regards to logistics, Fiona?
Sorry, so in regards to, like, the category of logistics?
Yeah, what would go there? I'm wondering if I can redirect something in there or something like that, and then therefore lowering the equipment and inventory amount.
I think it will still be looked at the same. Like, we can answer your question on logistics for sure. But any equipment is going to be looked at as equipment, regardless of
Sure.
Yeah, and I'd say in terms of, as you're looking at that itemized list, maybe there will be some things that you feel are better suited for that category, but logistics would be some more of the more intangible aspects of delivering the program. So if that's mileage for setting up the project in different places, I'm just listing off these as examples, not necessarily related to your project. If that's a professional Zoom account to connect with folks remotely, if it's delivery fees for certain project materials, it's more of the things that need to be purchased that may not have a physical entity to it.
Now,
does that sound accurate?
Yeah, now see, and again, this is where I may have gone wrong. If you look at category number 7, travel expenses, I grouped everything into that. So what may be better is if I, and I'm just picking figures here right now, let's say I load that to 5,000 and then made logistics 4,000. Would that be a more accurate way? Because
at the end of the day, we would group it all together again.
Okay.
All travel related.
Okay.
And the distinction between travel and logistics also kind of depends on like what the travel is for. So like I'm seeing your travel away from home for service in remote areas. So we would be wanting to see probably a little bit of detail on like how did you calculate that rate,
Okay.
But that makes sense to be in travel expenses there.
Where are you? Where are you guys?
So I'm just outside of Toronto.
Okay. I mean, we're in Kitchener. I don't know if you know much about the Kitchener-Waterloo area, but there is a lot of rural area.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of townships around here.
Something we've seen for other projects. So looking at the table, like keeping the equipment and inventory aside,
okay.
Looking at the direct costs, I can start to see some activities take shape there. I'm starting to get like more of an understanding, but I think, again, it needs to be like a lot more specific. So,
okay.
You know, things like food, PPE, sanitizing products, is that to distribute to people in need?
Purchase and distribute.
Okay. So that would be, so if we take that as like one of your core project activities is to distribute this direct aid to people, that's one of your core kind of services of this project, then the logistics are the costs that support you to do that. So
okay.
you might need to pay for gas, you might need to, transport things. Like Fiona suggested, like Zoom accounts are common in other projects these days because so much is virtual, et cetera. So that's one way to think about it. And again, I would really encourage you to consider like the direct cost for the direct delivery of those services.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Kind of from your organization to the person who needs the support.
And I think this is where I fell short before, is I just wasn't that clear.
Okay.
I think we're saying the same thing, and that's exactly what we're trying to do, but I don't think I said it in the way that you understood.
So I think a helpful way then, I guess, as well, I would encourage you to kind of share some information about connections that you already have. So, like, are you already delivering some services to particular groups of people? How is this an extension of your organization's current activities? How does your organization, like, have the capacity to reach the people that you're aiming to reach in this project? And then when we look at organizational capacity and project planning, which is one of our criterion points, we also look at, like, is it clear from the way you've structured your budget, like, what you're going to do and how much of it you're going to do and how many people will you reach? Like, is it clear that there's a project plan in place for the period of funding? That's what we're really looking for, so that we can understand how the proposal fits within the scope, which is, again, very specific in this particular funding.
Yeah,
program.
Yeah.
And I would also like to add that to, as you're building out this application, write it as if it's someone other than Robin and I who will be reading it. Because
true.
There are multiple folks on the team who are all over Canada. If you think it's helpful to provide more context as to how far within the Waterloo-Kitchener region you'll be working, anything that could help just give more justification to the cost, definitely put that in writing, because that's what our teammates will be working off of first and foremost.
Okay. Well, I mean, Fiona, you'll know that, I mean, Six Nations is just outside Brantford, and we've actually assisted with Six Nations before, so even though they're not in the Waterloo region, that's why we put in the Indigenous support there too, was because we can, and yet they aren't in our immediate area. So the travel and the expenses for that would also incur. So should I put in like a radius? Would that be the easiest way? Say, and I'm just picking a number, yeah, 100 kilometer radius of our facilities, or?
I think that's really up to you, and it depends on how your project and how your organization works. So maybe just, I'm conscious of the time, and we're already over time, so we do need to wrap up soon.
Okay.
But in the way your organization works, are you envisioning that people will reach out to you for support requests and
oh, absolutely.
Respond?
Yeah.
Or
I mean,
are you actively kind of reaching out to particular groups?
Both. I can see. I mean, even I can talk on the search and rescue side, because that is, you know, that's been in existence longer than the disaster side. We get a lot of reach out for that, and we are well known in that aspect. And I can see us being reached out to, and also reaching out to say, you know, we are here. So it's both sides.
So people would kind of come forward to you and say, this is what I'm experiencing. I need support.
Yeah, I'm a family or a group of,
right.
of this,
okay.
and this is what we need. And
okay, so I think that element is quite important to include as well, because that
okay.
doesn't come across so far in what I'm looking at.
Okay.
And I guess like that would be one of the questions is like to kind of speak to your organization's capacity. Is like, are you responding to individual requests, or is this like you have an? So some organizations who apply have an existing client base of say 200 people, and they would like to distribute direct aid to the 200 people who exist already in their client base.
Sure.
But I'm hearing that it's a little bit different in your organization, so that piece is quite important as well.
Okay, perfect. Fiona, Robin, I really appreciate your input. And, if you just email me just, summarizing what you've got your site.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's another girl who's been helping me on the application in our group, so I'm actually going to get her to listen to the recording as well, so she's got an idea of what you're requesting, and then we will try and refine it for you.
Okay, and then maybe just to wrap it up so that we're really clear, we will send you that email, but the next step is for you folks to complete and submit your application, and then it will be assessed, so just making sure that there's no guarantee of funding or anything like that based on this conversation.
Oh, you're not going to fill out the application for me? Oh, damn.
I am really glad that we got to connect. So thank you for your time. And, Fiona and I will send you an email shortly.
Great. Can I respond back to that if I have any further questions of you two?
Okay. That's fine.
Okay, as long as I know it's going to you two, then I'll redirect it, just for tweaking. And I really do appreciate your input. I really wish someone had done this 3 months ago.
The one thing that we aren't able to do is kind of comment on drafts of the application.
That's fine. No, I understand your limit.
But any direct questions you have for us, we're happy to try and answer or to escalate if you need to.
And if you feel you can't answer by saying I can't answer, that is acceptable too. I understand. That's fine.
Okay.
All right.
Well, have a wonderful day. Thank you again for your time.
You too.
Yeah, best of luck. Have a good day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.